Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Radiant Black Podcast. I'm your host, Bash, and I'm joined by my friends,
Charlie,
Radiant Matt,
and Ali. How y'all doing?
Good to see everyone.
Hell yeah. Yeah. It's been a wild weekend for you, Matt. Ali had some unfortunate troubles. I haven't recorded with you guys in a while, so it's nice to be back. For sure wasn't able to get on the last Radiant Black, unfortunately, but excited to get back on these ones, talk about the end of a series that been kind of not been looking forward to ending. I'll put it that way. It was a great trip. Got to a bunch of basketball games. March Madness time right now, so it's a great time to be a basketball fan. So into the comics, let's go. How are you, Ali? And everything went good with your cat?
Yeah, we're recording this pretty late compared to when the Lucky came out, just because my cat got sick, unfortunately, and one expensive vet visit later. he's doing a lot better now. He's being an asshole. He's jumping on tables demanding food. So that's how you know he's in good health.
That's how you know they're healthy, is when they're back to being assholes again.
Right. That's good. Exactly.
What about you, Bash?
I'm good. Excited to talk Dead Lucky and of course Infernals 2 later on. So it's been a good week of comics and tons coming out. Sad to see, of course, this series end. But we have some things to say about it, guys. But before we go, let's tell you, this is a show about Radiant Black and everything Massiverse. We've also got another show called the Rogue Sun Podcast about Rogue Sun and the supernatural parts of the Massiverse. Mm-hmm. Check that out. It's such a good time. We just interviewed Ryan recently, and people loved that episode. We had such a fun time talking to him, so check it out. And last but not least, we actually even just talk about random comics sometimes. Our most recent episode, we were talking about our best comics of 2023. So check it out if you haven't seen it yet. But let's check out Dead Lucky 12, guys.
I'm gonna throw a quick one here. I was pretty excited for this. I'm a big hat wearer. I don't know if any of you guys are hat wearers. I've worn hats. I wear one every single day of my whole life. But yeah. I finally think I've seen your hair. Yes, I know. I don't think my mom has either. I finally got the Radiant Black hat. Nice. Finally got the Radiant Black hat. Tossed the pins on there. And I just want to say, I'm not wearing it right now, but it didn't really show anything about the back or like what it looked like. But the hats, it's great quality. It's great stuff. So yeah, if you're hung up about that, the hat's great. So yeah, go buy
nice.
That. Bought the t-shirt, sick. Like the player one t-shirts, stuff like that. Lots of good stuff still up there. So yeah, I just wanted to shout that out.
Oh yeah, amazing. I love it. Representing the Radiant Black as always. So guys, Dead Lucky 12, let's get on it. I'll pull up the cover here, but in the meantime, let's talk about the creators. So we've got writer Melissa Flores, artist French Carlo Magno, and colorist Mattia Iacono, and letterer, Becca Carey, of course, the amazing. Guys, awesome issue 12 cover, which I'll pull up here in a second, the homage to number one. What would you guys think overall of this issue?
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
I'll go first. Let me just start by saying the cover is beautiful. It's a great kind of callback to issue number one. I love that part about it, at least. But the issue in general, I think it was okay. It was a decent ending. I liked kind of the conclusion of it all, but I can't say I was too excited about kind of how it happened about. It felt like, just to put it in a nutshell, it felt like just a little bit rushed for me.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Matt?
Yeah, I like the character, and I feel like felt kind of like repetitive, and I just feel like we're kind of spinning our wheels a little bit. I like the art. The art's killer. I mean, I don't want to spoil my whole opinion on the issue, but yeah, it wasn't exactly what I think. BB is a great character, and like I think that this is not going to be here. This isn't her definitive arc. I think these last six issues weren't like, you know, the perfect. I wish Pyre did more. I just feel like we could have gone further in a lot of ways, and I'll mention it as we go through it. What about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm the same. Same with both you guys for sure. I was definitely looking forward to. I was looking forward to exploring some of these characters, and I think that was the biggest shortcoming of this whole of this whole series, right? Like, just we had some very cool things set up with some of these characters. We've seen the robot transformation, obviously, that only lasted one panel. Like, just some of the things that kind of we wanted expanded, it all just kind of came to a head this issue, and it kind of even felt a little more accelerated to me for this issue. So not really spoiling it yet, but like last issue, it ends with BB and like the whole squad just rushing into battle. There's a motorcycle, the van, all going into battle, and then this issue opens up with just her on the rooftop. Like, everyone's already in play, but it's kind of like it just skips over kind of that cliffhanger of last issue. But you know, I can't say I was satisfied, but I did like some stuff we got from BB this issue, and I think Melissa did a good job with having to with closing it in this 12 issue. She did a pretty good job with what she was working with, for sure. How about you, Bash? You're muted there.
Muted.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Ali's assessment. I liked how things ended, but I didn't like really love the way we got there. It felt a little bit rushed. The art was always amazing, but I don't know. I just felt like we needed more time for this arc to be fully fleshed out and really get a satisfying ending. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I want to clarify too. I don't mean rushed as in like the book itself, or like the work that was put into it was rushed. It's more like they rushed to get to the ending that they wanted.
Yes.
Like there were certain things in there, yes, that kind of, like Charlie said, could have been fleshed out, could have been explored a little bit more, but they kind of had to end it at 12 issues or issue 12 or whatever. So we just reached that conclusion maybe a little bit too fast.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it, guys. The first page, we've seen obviously BB just standing over there. It reminds me immediately of like the pose of Batman from the animated series. Like, you know, when he's standing there with the thunder, like lightning strikes, like here for an image reference. Let's see right there. You know what I'm saying? Come on, you guys see it? Yeah. It's like the same pose, the same angle, the same back. Love it. Very nostalgic. And she looks badass there. Yeah. Obviously, we're like Charlie said, we're recovering from what happened last issue, and it's her and Pyre talking. So what'd you guys think of this conversation?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would have liked to see Lopez on the bike. Like they had that cool motorcycle, like they had some cool stuff, like just kind of planning out what's going on here. But yeah, he just kind of jumps into battle. I do love the one thing. There was a few things I really did straight up love about this issue. And I think one thing that like, a big point this has been trying
I
to
just hit. Saw the cigar, bro. I'm sorry. I just saw the cigar.
You just saw that? Okay. We'll
I just saw it again.
Great cigar moment. Yeah, great cigar.
Yeah, I guess it's a cigar, not a blunt.
This one point I think Melissa's been trying to hit home this whole time is that like BB says to Pyre, like it really, like just they're looking over everything, and they says it really makes me think we never left the war. We just brought it over here with us. I just love that perspective on everything, and just kind of that these two people are overlooking it all. But yeah, just kind of like even knowing later, like who released the aid protocol, it made me question a few things here and there. But yeah, the setup of the fight and kind of just this whole idea that like they've been trying to escape war this whole time and kind of make here a better place, so no one has to go over and fight those battles. But now the battle's here. So what does that say about them themselves? That whole thing, I loved it.
I like the comparison is like fire and lightning, how like BB strikes in a different way than fire burns everything. Like, I like that, but then it's like, you know, I burn stuff down, I don't stop it from burning or whatever it was. I'm like, all right, you know, it was half and half. There's parts I like and parts I didn't. And a big part of my disconnect with this book is probably, it's a personal thing, right? Because it's war stuff, and that doesn't always personally entertain me. And dealing with the guilt thing, this like survivor and the trauma stuff isn't necessarily why I read comics personally. And I'm not saying it's bad, it's just not personally what I look for in books.
Okay. I have, and I was thinking a lot about that actual point itself, and I believe, and reading her letter the past. I think a lot of the reason Melissa almost felt like herself, she couldn't dive into that with the characters.
Yeah.
She tried on the surface because she never has that, had that perspective herself. And she's always done that. Like, she's been trying to write this for her wife or fiance or whatever. Yeah. And just trying to do that to honor her. So yeah, I was like, even myself, like, I'm like, oh, I wish we could have went more into like Pyre's past and like explored all that stuff in the military. And it's like, I don't know if that's something Melissa ever like ever had any interest in whatsoever, just like not being like relatable to her at all. You know what I mean?
And it's tough perspective where you want to showcase this. You've lived with someone who has that struggle, but also you aren't 100% that person and can't really. Yeah, I think she did a really good job of it. And I think a veteran would really appreciate this book.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So, yeah.
No, I think that's. She really did. And she's never wanted to make herself like she's been always upfront with that. Like, I'm not a veteran. I've never experienced this. I'm just trying to. I'm just trying to honor kind of what they do and the struggle they face. So I did kind of like that. And that kind of gave me a little different perspective on the book too. But yeah, it was, that cigar scene, that was great. We get Pyre just, we were all laughing a little about that before. That was great. Just kind of a little out of nowhere. I think that was his first time. He just kind of started smoking there. But yeah, he just pulls out a nice big blunt. Well, is it a blunt or a cigar there?
I don't know. I think the jury's out on that one.
What's his choice?
It's open-ended, out. Right?
It turned into a Metal Gear Solid scene all of a sudden. You know?
Yo,
yeah. 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 Yeah.
Mechs and the Patriots. Let's go. You know, I the Pyre resolution was weird. Like, this feels like I need more. Like, this is an ending point, but obviously I don't think this is the last time we ever see Dead Lucky, let alone if Massive Verse continues. I think we'll see her, and this is more discussion for later on, because we kind of speculate this might be the end of Dead Lucky, or at least this run. So I do think we'll see more. We'll save that for later. But it was cool to see Pyre. I need more of him.
With the fire and the lightning too, like they've I love that point. But even to that point, like, we can't really. Like, I was never really led to believe that Pyre was much, and I did go back. There was some lines that did allude to it, but I never really got, I never believed that Pyre was like a dick or like the kind of the fiery guy before this whole tragedy happened. Yeah. So I would have liked to see how he was kind of beforehand. Cause we just got a couple lines before the accident happened. Now he's just all of a sudden like, a big villain. So.
I agree. Let's see what else we got. So this one was
Mr. Jimmy. Mr. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Was another example of. I think we could have gone further. Like, are we trying to like show how like companies will put up the facade, the rainbow flag, pretend that they really care? Like, there's like a term for it now or whatever. Is it rainbow capitalism? Remember where companies like, hey, look how much, but they never really show the support. Where it really matters in countries where it's even more difficult. Like, the support's great here where there's a lot of progress, but also like where it really matters, like you see like Bethesda's Twitter account, how that doesn't change the colors during Pride Month for like Russia or whatever, something like that. Like, this is nice, but it felt like we're just kind of waving a little bit, nice little wink and nod, but I feel like there's a lot more to do with that. Like, the facade, like, they could have even done that, or it could have been a reason why BB was chosen by Moro to use, because like, hey, we're trying to have the people and she is representing other groups too. So that could have been another element too that I feel we could have gone further, but you know, that's just my two cents.
Yeah, I hear that.
Definitely, I agree for sure.
I'm kind of fanficking again too. I can't expect that book to go fully into it, but just bring out the flag, maybe think of another path for this.
For sure.
Anyways.
Like, I feel like I didn't get enough time this arc with Jimmy Moss to get that fear or hate or like any strong feelings towards him. In the first arc, I hated him, right? And I'm sure you all agree. Yeah. Like, he was a pretty compelling villain. But here, just him kind of being away for the first few issues and then showing up out of nowhere and like full cyborg form.
He has Boba Fett pod syndrome. What is this thing called where Boba Fett kept going back to the back attack? That's the syndrome he had. Back to tank syndrome, bro. He's just constantly like somewhere recovering or chilling or.
Yeah. Even something to spice it up, like, what if he got in like the 001 papers leak and Morrow got some Radiant Black Tech or something like that? That would have spiced up the stuff for a second volume.
Can I just say, like, my one like pick thing is like, I think he looks silly. It's like something you'd see in like Inspector Gadget's Dark Multiverse. Like, I think like you could have like genuinely like, come on, you don't think so? Like, I agree.
The robot.
Yeah, me too. I think they went like, really much with the body horror. They tried too much with the body horror, I think.
Yeah.
Much of the cyborg.
For a book that's the bot book, they should have just made him a big bot, you know? Like, just make him a big freaking bot.
Or put his brain on a big robot.
Yeah.
Like, I guess he's vain. And you don't want, you want to show him getting uglier and stuff. And like, the eye is kind of interesting. It kind of looks hollow and stuff, but it's like, I don't know, man.
Sure. It's like, it's very cyborgy. I didn't like it. Like, I kind of wish we, like, I don't think it's like bad per se, but I just wish we were more adventurous with the design of it, because I feel like, you know, it's like the master plan. It's the final issue. You want to see something kind of big and crazy, you know?
Like, also, Georgia looks like BB to me. I can't not say it, but the face looks similar. Like, if you change Georgia's hair, like, that's it looks a lot like BB in her eye color, like, straight up. Like, and other than that, that's my only complaint about French's art is some of the faces. Other than that, like, it's a joy to see, to watch him play during his last 12 issues. Yeah. But yeah, faces for me sometimes get confusing.
Man, yeah, I love the art. I didn't mind it overall, but I agree in that one panel, it's a bit similar, but I don't know. Maybe it was initially her or something. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, though, I think it's the art was great throughout the whole series. I would love to see French do more. I thought Matthias' colors were amazing as well, like really fantastic. I hope he does more stuff in the Massiverse even, but
yeah.
I'd love to see like French do something in Marvel or DC. I feel like he would fit right in and he would kill it, honestly. So it would be really, really exciting to see what he does in the future. But the art's been fantastic. And, you know, we keep going. We see like, we finally figure out who did the, Matt, you mentioned this earlier, who released the order, right? The bot order, I forget what it is. The IAD or whatever it is. What is it?
AID protocol. Did this guy give you any questions about Georgia? Like any, like, or no? Like this was just something she wanted to do for the better of BB.
Well, she got grief and she's trying to make sure things fall through.
Yeah, she might be going a little too, like you said, she's going through grief and she's willing to like do extreme measures.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like it made her feel like a more nuanced character, but again, I feel like this is one of those moments where we could have built more of the story into it, like cooked it more. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it was taken out of the oven a bit early.
After this, I went back into when the AID protocol and everything was called, and it was just like, just how much Georgia cared for BB, like when BB was, I guess, dead for like 3 days or something in the coma, like she got out and Georgia was so happy to see her. But I guess when she released this AID protocol, you just see like immediately like a bunch of these killer robots and like the whole, like this whole thing. And it's like an AI robot protocol. So I was just like, I don't know how safe that really is, or like, I don't know if that could be the best decision. I don't know. I had some questions about Georgia after that.
Well, I saw,
for sure.
I think too, because like Georgia was taking Eddie's death pretty well, right? Like she, of course, she had her grief, but she was still, she kind of like hit it well, maybe. And that's what this part kind of shows me, is that even though she might have been hiding her grief well, she was feeling it, and like I said, she was willing to go to those extreme measures to help BB even against her will.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay. I like the panel with her eyes. I like when they go up close, it really shows like her guilt. It was really nice like moment. It felt like satisfying reveal, but like I said, I feel like
guilt, like BB was struggling to fight through these robots, and she calls up Winston and she's like, "Oh, Winston, like how are you doing shutting down the robots?" And Winston's like, "Oh yeah, no luck yet." Even though she's the one who released it the whole time, it's like she's just plainly just lying to her the whole time. And I get it's for the greater good, but going back, it didn't really read the best for me personally. But yeah, no, it was a cool reveal for sure, I guess. It was it was something, I guess it was kind of a question that kind of I totally forgot about. So it was kind of cool just to throw all that stuff back in the loop.
I just got this thought too randomly. I hope that the trade for this volume is this cover, or the cover of the trade is this cover.
Yes.
It'll go really well with
the other one. So yeah, so this part comes pretty early.
Don't really Georgia have, too. There again, she just goes and tries to kill and shoot this guy right in the head. I don't know, man. I don't know, Georgia, man.
Georgia is not afraid. She's
maybe it's also symbolism that the pyre has put the fire in the people, you know? Like who knows?
Like, so if Jimmy sprung for the data plan, would he still be around? Because he did say it's like, oh, you put yourself in the Wi-Fi, Jimmy. Like, if he didn't come with like AT&T or something, he'd still be just, that's such I don't know, that's a bit of a caveat. Like, is he that cocky? Like, you would be encrypted. If you're that loaded, you would have like a personal person hired to make sure that no one hacks you or something like that. You would have like a room of people with, but I digress, you know, whatever. It's that's not like a glaring pothole. Like, pothole will keep me awake at night.
That's right. I mean, dude, he, like, for a guy who's yelling about how he's a god, like, he gets ended pretty quick, you know? Like,
I know. That's the thing, too.
You don't even see him get ended. It just gets like, boom, he gets like Indiana Jones. You know what I'm saying?
I'm okay with chicken shit villains.
So is he actually dead? Is he actually dead then? Or is he coming back?
He gets Raiders of the Lost
Ark. Be the villain in Supermassive.
His AI could be back. He's probably in the cloud. Like, you know,
that would be pretty cool. But if he comes back, I hope he takes on a proper "I am a god" form. Like, take on something cool and not like I feel this way.
Like Doc Seismic, you know, like a Doc Seismic return,
or Angstrom Levy. I like when people get messed up.
I mean, especially with 001 tech. Like, maybe he like finds a way to get like some like renegade like alien from like another like opposite of the what's it called.
That's what I mean. Like, as a finale, this didn't feel more final than Volume 7. Well, issue 6 kind of built up to, like, infiltration. But this, there's also, like, a bit of open-ended stuff. It's like, where's the powers from, right? Like, where, I want to know that story of, like, who's experimenting with this, how they choose this unit, and how they, you know, like, there's a lot more I'd want to get into. This feels like, I want more. I'm like, okay, what's Pyre up to? Also, Pyre would be great if they made, like, a Thunderbolt in the Massiverse. Like, he'd be a great asset there.
Yes.
I like that.
Pyre would have a really cool, like I feel like he's the kind of character who could have a really cool redemption arc as well.
Yep.
Like, over time.
Because he was abused. Like, you know, he killed. Yeah. Like, the military abused him. He has a right. I mean, obviously, he's been crazy, but he can be, like, Bucky kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I like Pyre a lot. Like, if that's the main takeaway we get from the second arc of Dead Lucky, is that, like, Pyre becomes a big player. I like that.
Stoker remains unknown, right?
What's even going on with Stoker? Dude, Stoker doesn't have dialogue, dude. Just like kind of there.
Maybe he didn't say a single word, did he? Ever? Right?
No, he hacked someone. He hacked someone once.
Yeah, but did he speak? Did he have speech bubbles?
I don't even remember.
And he just said, "Oh, I'm gonna hack you." Yeah,
but is it the fact that you may or may not remember? Isn't that a bad thing though? Like,
fair.
Maybe it's just Stoke speculation.
The last page we see. The last page, like, after the fighting all happens and she kisses Maria, that's a beautiful page. If we can get that on a poster or even on a t-shirt.
Not this one, the one
after this one. It's amazing. It's an amazing page.
Oh, yes. That's funny. Yes.
This is a nice looking book. Like, I it's so such a sleek look, and it adds to the tech and feel. Like, it's very streamlined and sleek. Like,
yeah.
The direction's dope.
Guys, is that the same therapist she had in the beginning of the series?
I think so.
I think, yes.
Not, but, like, I don't.
Yes, yeah. And it's I love how they ended it. They ended it like that. Like, they really kind of, like, they didn't completely end it like that, but I think definitely the first couple pages of the series were in a therapy office, right? So that's very cool. And she's got a lot. She's got her whole squad behind her now. I guess she's I don't know. She's more open up to the spirits, but it looks like she has like even a bigger crew now than she did prior.
Also, BB, like, we know that these are just like, these aren't actually, I guess they're not the souls. It's just the memories. It's like her weaponized grief, basically. Like, she could be like Scarlet Witch OP, really, if she's unleashing like electrical demons. Like,
okay, yeah, BB's got, I guess, that's what it is, right? I guess. Yeah, I guess that's what it is, because Ghost had a spirit, right? But he ended up not being like, Ghost is Pyre. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, I think these like her memories and the carry trauma, like the electrical impulses.
But they're not real. Like, it's not like they're the real people's spirits. It's like her, the manifestation of her trauma manifests into that like electrical energy, or
that's what I want to call it. That's what I've been dealing with. Gotcha. I feel like that's another element that Pyre provided in this volume, which was cool. That's my favorite aspect of the series, is speculating, okay, are these real spirits that she's using or whatever? And like, it's looking that way.
I like, I think that's a good answer. I would take that as a definitive answer if it was one, but that's what I'm going to go with now. So I love it.
And then at the end, we see, I don't have the page here. We don't want to show the whole comic, but we have
snag this page. Book.
Yeah.
Especially if you like the series, watch, catch the finale.
We see the page back. to Eddie. What'd you guys think of that? I was a little bummed we didn't see Eddie, but I feel like this is still a really good ending and a more realistic one, to be honest.
He got his dog tags, which is nice. Like, you're not a soldier, but he never felt like that. But here,
he really was a character that deserved the full issue in like to talk about, like in the afterlife or whatever. I do really wish we got that or more of him after that. But yeah, it's nice seeing she's kind of not focusing so much on her past now. She's gonna work on living for the people that she loves, right? Or that loved her.
Yeah.
It is a good ending for the book. Or I don't know, would you call it an ending? Would you call this, I guess it's an ending.
I'd say for now it is the ending, and I think at least for the, like, this the short-term future, we'll see her in Supermassive 2024.
Or the Catalyst War have been sweet too. Like, wouldn't like which, I forget, I have to read Supermassive again, but one of them, one time, I think you'd be calling BB because you'd be pretty useful That's against fair. These robots. But either way,
Go for it. I wonder if now that she doesn't have her own ongoing, if that kind of frees them up to use her in the other books, because
That was my question. Are we going to see her next written by Melissa, or are we going to see someone else using her
Tommy
now
shown up
that, with her that she's available?
That's a good question. Yeah.
I think it's possible. Yeah, I think it's
Satomi's a little different though, because Satomi was created by Kyle, right?
I guess you're right. Yeah, Cherish kind of influenced the backstory. But
Ryan created Roxanne, Melissa created Dead Lucky. They might all be under Massiverse, but I think it's still they created that character.
Yeah, they're all friends. I feel like if they need Dead Lucky, I feel like they'd ask each other permission. But I think it's fine.
The last thing I had with this book is Valentine. She got off 100% innocent. Everything. Yeah. Was she actually 100% innocent, or would you guys have does she deserve some punishment? Like she was, or I guess she was kind of a part of it. She was so hard ass, but she wasn't really with Jimmy's ways.
She was just doing her job, I think. Like she's still sure she's complicit, but I don't think knowingly. Kane definitely is knowingly complicit. Like,
Kane, I hope, didn't get away. Yeah. Okay. I love that.
Oh, she got hers.
So she got new dog tags as suit, I guess. Is that what you guys took or no? I don't know. It says Winston gave me a kind of different upgrade. I figured it was time for these dog tags to protect you, and then leaves the dog tags at the grave and then leaves. Yeah, or is that just the protection is the armor now? Maybe is that what it is?
They got that's a good question. I'm hoping it's something new. Like we can see.
I figured
it was more symbolic than anything, to be honest.
Since gave me a different upgrade, not like. A new upgrade. It's a different upgrade. Yeah. So
maybe that's. Yo, has anyone tried to call the Trimexq number on the thing?
I was thinking about it, but no, I didn't. I didn't think they would actually do it. But
I'd be shocked if we don't see BB again. I'd be pretty shocked.
No, we're 100% gonna see her again. She already said so, and
in the letter too, the letter in the back.
Yeah,
she says.
Yeah, so I think it'll be Supermassive 2024, like as soon as that.
She says, "Quote: BB's not done with her Avengers, and there's still a lot of story left in San Francisco with BB and her squad. But for now, it's time for her to rest a bit."
Also, hot take: I don't need to see BB in San Francisco again. Like, San Francisco doesn't really interest me that much. Like,
I mean, what's there to do now? I don't know. Unless Jimmy comes back, Jimmy comes out of the ashes, you know.
I feel like there is a lot more story to tell there.
I feel like you could do a Thunderbolts book now, like Massiverse style, where it's like BB and Pyre like doing like across the world shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, even trying to like stop Shift, and like the good chance to introduce some new characters as well, and maybe if the Five Indicate are involved in some way. You know, we got the what's his name, Shear, always looking for shady ways to make money or whatnot. So that's it for our Dead Lucky number 12 review. We're going to miss Dead Lucky. We're hoping, obviously, to see her soon again in a book. I'm hoping it's Supermassive 2024. Who knows? But pick up this issue. Pick up the Volume 2, the trade, coming out soon, collecting issues 6 to 12. 7 to 12. And yeah, guys, make sure you support Dead Lucky, support the Massiverse. And if you want to find more of Melissa's work, you can find her over doing Power Rangers. She's also doing stuff at the Nacelleverse. She's also doing, she was doing Spider-Gwen just now. So yeah, you can find her doing all kinds of comics, and check those out. But yeah, thanks for checking out our Dead Lucky number 12 review. You can find us at the Reading Block Podcast, where we talk about more Massiverse books. And yeah, anything else you guys want to add?
I think that's it. Excited to get into Infernals. But yeah, go read that letter at the end. Of the issue. It was just her thanking everyone and just kind of for expressing the whole series as a whole. I just thought it was a great way to go out. And I'm definitely gonna be a fan of hers for now. This was the first book I read of hers, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say we're all big fans of Melissa at this point. It was a great book, a bittersweet ending, but I enjoyed the book throughout. I'm definitely going to be getting volume 2. And also shout out to Sandra Wynn for all the recipes at the back of
each
of those books.
I mean, an appetizer to round it all out.
I know there must have been a lot of work, and a lot of us appreciated it. It's pretty cool.
And we got recipes in the back, but you could feel the love that went into this book. And like, there was a lot of passion behind it and stuff like that, and you can feel in the character that there's heart in it, and she wants to make positive change with the series, and I think she did. And if it helped one veteran, it was more than worth it, right? If one person felt seen and that they had a character they could relate to in a world that feels foreign to them, so it was great. And I'm glad that Dead Lucky got to end on its own terms for now.
Yes,
for now.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time. Check out Dead Lucky and stay radiant.